Pro football full circle.
Can they score a touchdown and end this with 5 minutes to go in OT? Jones out of the gun. Hand off Saquon. Slices right to the end zone and in for the touchdown of the Giants. Win it in overtime. Saquon Barkley on a 6-yard run.
Here's your alpha dog.
And we're off and running. And today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. You heard it in the intro, Saquon Barkley, the New York Giants. They have their sights set on Big D in Dallas, 7-point underdogs this coming Sunday. Can they do it? They're coming off an emotional victory over the New Orleans Saints in overtime. News and notes in the NFL, though, Holden, two teams, Dallas, they released their veteran linebacker, Jalen Smith, and then a shocker out in New England, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots release cornerback Stephon Gilmore. He is gone. Thoughts about both of those releases for Dallas and the Patriots, respectively?
Well, I think you start with Gilmore, right? This was one of the, this might have been the best cornerback in the league for about 2 years, I would think. And now, the injuries are just too much. He had the, first of all, the contract situation in 2020 where he wanted money, you know, pushed back there, and they did that. And then he sits out camp and he's on IR. And finally, Belichick just said, I'm sick of it. So he lets him go. I personally think that this guy can still give something, especially if you're going to be patient with him. Let him get healthy as the season goes along. He's better than so many corners in this league still, especially on these bad teams like the Chiefs. You know, you look at these teams. What?
I saw a report that suggested that Washington, obviously, they have some concerns in the secondary. Mm-hmm. They should be proactive and try to get him on their roster because he could solidify maybe that depth in terms of the secondary. They've been abused in recent weeks. Matty Ice put up 30 points on them. Daniel Jones abused them. I mean, each and every week, it seems like the front seven is non-existent and quarterbacks are shredding that secondary. Good fit for the Washington football team moving forward?
Is a good fit for a lot of teams. I think the Washington football team needs to get that pass rush going, though. It's going to make that secondary much better. So here's some teams I'm looking at. Again, he's so often injured, right, that you're going to have to take that into account. I think the Panthers with a ton of cap space, second most cap space, $19 million. The Eagles, I don't know why he would want to go to the Eagles, bunch of losers, but their defense has been as bad as anyone over the last 2 weeks. Then you've got teams like who, the Seahawks? Could the Seahawks use them? Could the Packers use them? So up and down, there's a million different teams. And then, how about the Bucks? And I'm not saying he's going to the Bucks, but why not at this point? Davis and Murphy right. Bunting are going to be out a while. So why not try and plug him in there and see if he could be healthy? So I think so many teams could use him, probably more than anyone, the Chiefs. I don't know. They'd have to get very creative. They've only got 3.1 mil in cap space. But if I rank the teams that need him the most that are contenders, because he's not going to want to go to a bad team, I would say the Chiefs, number one. I think he really could help the Panthers get over the hump and get to the playoffs. Washington would be another team. The Seahawks could be another team. Just a lot. Packers, I know Davante Adams wants him there too. So plenty of teams. This guy's going to get paid, but the biggest question is, does he stay healthy? And that's a big question mark. It's worth a chance.
Yeah, I agree. If you're a playoff contender, you bring him on to the roster. He's a veteran. He understands what it takes to win and obviously win a Super Bowl in that type of environment. We'll see which team reaches up and grabs him. I mean, you saw the injury to J.C. Horn for Carolina. Dak mm-hmm. Prescott abused that secondary this past Sunday. So we'll see who the number one team is. On the flip side for Jalen Smith, I mean, he was Jerry Jones's favorite. It was a quiet release, I think, compared to Gilmore, you know, coming out today and yesterday. But Jalen Smith was the guy. right? For a couple of years, he was the guy coming out of Notre Dame, had the knee injury, bounce back in a big way. But when you see Micah Parsons, you see that defense now have an intensity and an attitude. I guess that, you know, Mike McCarthy decided, you know, they want to move on. Even Jerry Jones as well said, you know what, it's best if we cut ties with Jalen Smith at this point in the season.
They're getting great production from their linebackers. They've got a stellar rookie. So, yeah, no surprise. Jalen Smith is gone, although it was a surprise. Okay, so it's not a surprise from a production standpoint. It is a surprise that here we wake up and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. So my real question for him is, what does he have left? What does he have left in the tank? So I looked at Pro Football Focus. They've got some good stuff going on there. 69.5 grade in 2021. 11th among linebackers.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Not bad. That's terrific. But what were the Cowboys seeing that the numbers are seeing? So I don't get what the gap is. He wasn't playing bad from an analytical standpoint, but he obviously wasn't playing well enough from a talent standpoint, I guess, is what they were looking at. So, well, he was making some nice number. He was making some nice money. And the best thing, he chose mid-six figures this offseason to change his number. He paid mid-six figures to change his numbers, and now he's gone. But he's getting paid $7 million not to play there.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down week number five. Holden Kushner, Joe Lisi, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, breaking down NFL week number five. Talked about the two releases between Gilmore and Jalen Smith. Going to turn our attention to a solid battle in Washington this coming weekend, Holden. New Orleans coming off the loss to New York. 2.5-point favorites on the road in Washington against the Washington football team. New Orleans and Sean Payton -105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set at 44.5, -110 either way. Sean Payton came out, said the loss was on him this past Sunday against the New York Giants. Offense looked inconsistent, especially in the overtime period. They could not convert. They go on the road. This is a tough matchup for them, I think. Even though I don't really love the way the defense is playing for Washington, at home in this environment, I got to take the kid, Taylor Heinicke, plus the 2.5. I think they win this ball game outright.
Why? Give me a little bit more reason besides for Taylor Heinicke, because
I think they're the more complete football team. Show me what New Orleans has outside of Alvin Kamara. I mean, everybody talked about Callaway. Everybody talked about some of the other wide receivers. We haven't seen it. Jameis Winston still looks inconsistent. They incorporated Taysom Hill. He's okay. He's marginal. But I like the weapons that Washington has now. Samuel's back. Now, the loss of Logan Thomas does hurt to a capacity, but I'll still take my chances with McLaurin, Gibson, McKissick, and Taylor Heinicke. And I'll believe this, that the defense at some point has to get back to at least middle of the pack here. They cannot be abused for 30 points each and every weekend. I think they step up, and I think this is the type of offense as well where there isn't a legitimate deep threat on the perimeter. That front seven could pin their ears back and get to Jameis in this ballgame.
The Saints have been an interesting team, and you're not going to believe this, but Jameis has actually been pretty darn efficient this year. The problem is his decision-making. And again, everybody was on the Jameis Winston bandwagon. He threw for 5 touchdowns in week 1. It was amazing. You know, he got the Packers to give up. He was put in a lot of great situations to throw 5 touchdowns. Since then, it has been a lot more inconsistent. I would say the same thing about Taylor Heinicke if we're talking about if we're talking about quarterbacks and decision making. Now, he got lucky. He got, you need luck sometimes, but he got very, very lucky in that game. If you'll remember, against the Falcons, this is late in the game, Terry McLaurin had his man beat by legit 15 yards. Not kidding. Heinicke under a little bit of pressure, didn't see him. Later, he just chucked it up. Like, he just threw it up in the air. He's like, gosh, I hope McLaurin can make a play, and he made the play. You know, that's not a smart play. It was a dangerous play. It could have ended the game for them. So I think what we're looking at here is two quarterbacks with questionable decision making. That's the first thing. Then we got to go over to the defenses then, right? Because they're still, the Washington defense is still not getting that pressure. And I don't know why we're just saying, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. No problem. You know, it's just, it's time. They're due. I'm not so sure about that. And that's hurt their secondary. Here's what I like about this game. The under. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
So I don't love the football team defense, but I kind of feel like, well, I know that the Saints have had some problems running the ball. We're going to make it a one-dimensional team. I could see some three and outs. I could see some issues. And while the football team is not generating a lot of pressure, okay, they're not generating a lot of pressure, I don't know how much you have to have against Winston at this point. This is a watered-down offense for the Saints, so they're going to have to win it defensively for the football team, right? And then the Saints can get pressure on Taylor Heinicke. If this thing goes over, it's because there's going to be turnovers in your own zone setting up the other team to score. Under 45 is kind of sticking out to me right now. It has been bet down from 46.5. 45, 45.5. Would you be surprised to see this number move up or down as the week goes on? Because I do like the under here.
You see, I'm a contrarian on this one. I actually like the over. I like the over going in because I think the kid can move the football on the front, on the secondary in New Orleans, just the way Danny Dimes did in the fourth quarter. I'm not sold on New Orleans, and because of the lack of speed on the perimeter, I think the defense can get some turnovers and force three and outs, which would mean a short field, and I expect New Orleans to be playing from behind in this ballgame. So I do expect points. I guess I think it could get down to 43.5. I mean, if we're at 44.5 right now, 43.5, another point is not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, by game time, I mean, I could see money coming in on the under because it is Washington, the perception. But I will say this, out of both quarterbacks, if we're looking at Winston and we're looking at Heinicke, you have a lot more upside and potential of stretching New Orleans' defense over the top vertically, even though he missed a couple of throws to McLaurin, with Heinicke, I think, than Winston with those wide receivers right now.
I saw a lot of breakdowns in the Saints secondary last week. Okay, we saw that. Lattimore isn't as bad as he looked. Lattimore's actually pretty damn good. Marcus Williams missed a big tackle on that Barkley play that they ran all the way back. But for the most part, and the special teams wasn't terrific anyways, I think you saw the Saints at their worst last week, okay? I think you saw the Saints as bad as they're going to get defensively. And that's the problem. They have to win games with defense now, even though there's no Drew Brees. You know, Jameis Winston is not a guy that I think can consistently put up the numbers that you need to have a good passing attack. So, yeah, you look at the Saints, they're a little bit middle of the pack, okay? But ultimately, this is not a Washington offense. I'm too concerned about putting up points against this defense. Again, I think that they get back to what they're doing. And then as far as Jameis goes, not too concerned. Again, the pass rush for now isn't there, but if it gets there like you think it's going to, I don't understand how you don't lean under.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about this later in the week in terms of a set pick. But right now, I like Washington. I like the over. Before we turn our attention to the other games, if Winston drops this game, they have three losses on the year. Any concern about Sean maybe turning to Taysom for a spark in this type of situation or not? You're okay with it with three losses. You're still confident Winston could lead this team to a playoff.
My sense is that Hill would get more work, but that would be it. Like, unless Jameis just completely crumbles, how do you give the reins to Taysom Hill? He's just not. He's not a quarterback. He's a runner. That's what he is. They put him in those little packages.
Right, RPOs.
There,
so. Right. I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. I'm just curious to see how the fan base would accept if obviously they get blown out in this game or the offense does sputter and let's say they only get 13, 14 points. Is yeah. there any cause of concern? We'll see. I mean, I think that's an intriguing discussion to see how this game plays out. If they win, great. If they lose, then maybe there is some pressure on Sean Payton to make a change middle of the season if they're under 500. We'll see. Mm-hmm. How about this matchup with Minnesota? Minnesota, 8.5-point favorites right now over Detroit. Detroit back-to-back road games right now. Minnesota minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 49.5 juice to the under at minus 115. Man, Minnesota needs a win in a big way. I mean, they were in striking distance in that game again. Zimmer gets the loss. You only put up 7 on Cleveland with those offensive weapons. I mean, Dalvin Cook, he's hurt. He's not hurt. He's hurt. Could we get more than just 3 games where, I mean, consistent Dalvin Cook? I picked you for the MVP. I mean, come on now. Unbelievable.
That's your fault, not his fault. I should have known.
Well, it is his fault. You know, a little conditioning. Unbelievable.
He can't stay healthy, man.
I like Minnesota here. I like
8
quickly
points.
We'll talk about 8.5. Yeah.
Hey, don't forget, Lions got a little pass rush. They have at least 3 sacks in 3 straight games. But Minnesota should roll in this game, no doubt.
They should roll. I like the over in that as well. We'll talk about that a little bit deeper. Joe Lisi, Holden Kushner, right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Breaking down NFL Week 5 action, left off with Detroit and Minnesota. Detroit, back-to-back road games, like I mentioned, 8.5-point dogs, minus 105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm telling you this right now, Holden. If Zimmer and the Vikings somehow, some way drop this game, they should fire him midseason. I'm serious. Just get rid of him. I'm tired of him already. Just get rid of the guy. I'm telling you, this team should have been 3-0 at the start of the year. You lose to Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. You lose another Week 2 matchup. You lose to Cleveland 14-7. The potential that's on this team is unbelievable. They showcased that in the win over Seattle. No consistency right now. You drop to Dan Campbell at home as an 8.5-point favorite? Come on. Seriously?
So here's a couple of issues. Well, first of all, he might lose his job. 1-4, I'm not sure it gets it done. This team's going to have a very tough time getting to the playoffs, though. The good thing is that they have the Lions and they have the Bears on the schedule going forward. But
you have to win. You have to win now.
It's about a must-win at this point. 1-3 teams really don't get to the playoffs. We have an extra game this year, so let's see if that changes anything. But the offensive line, oh, my God, did they just get pummeled by that Browns pass rush. And while I think that Detroit, you know, their pass rush isn't as bad as people still think, it's not what we're seeing from the Cleveland Browns right now, okay? They are an aggressive team. They are an aggressive team. So it's nice to see that from the Lions. Ultimately, they just don't have the talent. With that being said, I think the problem here is do the Vikings play down to their competition? Because they didn't play up to the Browns last week.
No, I know.
Now are they going to play down? Here's what it is. The Vikings are winning this game. The question is by how much? And they got a nice little home field advantage here. I just feel uncomfortable with the 8.5. I can't back that against a team that's 1-3 and that has shown to be very inconsistent. Because I see it? Yeah, absolutely. They could go in there and blow them out of the water. Then on top of that, you've got the Lions with some injuries too. You know, don't forget about that. Romeo Okwara, Okwara. He had the Achilles, so he was one of their best defensive players, and he led the team in QB pressure. So that's going to be a big loss. You know, Aduka's already gone, and Taylor Decker, one of their best offensive linemen, he's down. So I think the injuries just add more to this, especially on the defensive side when you need to get pressure on Kirk Cousins. I'm with you on the Lions. I just don't know if I can back 8.5. That is a lot.
Yeah, I'm on the Vikings. I'm laying the wood with them. I can't back the Lions in this situation. It's do or die for Zimmer and the crew. They, like I said, they lose this game, I would fire them on the spot. 1-4, you're gone. Get out. We don't want you anymore. Total preseason win total was 8.5. 1-4 with this team. Are you kidding me? Give me a break with these coaches. Unbelievable. I can't even take it anymore. All right. Well, look at this matchup in Pittsburgh. We talked about this yesterday, but it looks more and more like Drew Lock's going to get the start against Big Ben this coming weekend. I still like the Denver offense here. I think they can move the football. Don't love Locke, trust me. But I still think he can get it done against this secondary. Total sitting pretty right now at 39.5. I know you like the under there. But I still like the Broncos. I think they get it done. -104 could be an option for me on the money line.
Oh, boy. All right, go back and give me your explanation once again. I can't wait to hear this one.
I just think they're the more complete team. I'm sorry. I just don't. Tell me what the offensive identity is of Pittsburgh. We don't know what it is. They have no running game in terms of consistency. They're put into consistent long third down situations. Mm-hmm. As long as you have Rottenberger back there, I'll take my chances with the Denver defense any day in the week of 3rd and 8 and longer. I'm serious. It really just comes down to that. It comes down to I don't believe Ben can make it more than a quarter of throwing the football deep. And you know what? As long as Denver's within striking distance, give me the younger quarterback, give me the better defense.
Okay, so here's the issue. If Drew Lock starts, there's no way in hell that I could back the Broncos. I just can't do it. There are reports coming out of this, though, because Teddy B has to be in protocol until Friday. There are reports that he's starting to look good, that he's looking sharp, and that he could start this weekend. And if that is the case, Mr. Lisi, if it is Teddy Bridgewater, I think that this should be the Broncos game on the road. This thing moved to, 1.5? We're getting +1.5 in Pittsburgh. Yes,
right.
Noodle arm, Dunsky. It's all over for him. This offense cannot move the ball. My favorite bet here is the under. Didn't I talk about this yesterday where my favorite bet is the under? It comes down to the Broncos quarterback situation in this one. So even if Bridgewater's in there, I still like the under. Pittsburgh, defensively, they have had some breakdowns, but I don't think you're really worried about any huge plays against the Broncos. You know, maybe they could put one down there with Patrick or who's my Cortland Sutton. You know, this is somebody else offensively where they're going to need a big play or two to beat the Steelers. If it's Drew Lock, too many mistakes, he's going to turn a ball over. That defense is going to beat him. If it's not, then I'm fine. Here's one more thing about Drew Lock. Entering this year, Mitchell Trubisky is the only quarterback with a worse passer rating on deep throws than Drew Lock. 36 qualifiers, Mitchell Trubisky, the only one that is worse. And this is why I'm concerned if he has to start, the threat of the big play. People think it's going to be there because the big arm. You can have a big arm, but if you're missing your guys all the time, you're taking that big threat ability away.
Yeah, so he should practice with a tire in the backyard. See if he can start with that and then work his way up. Why Denver took him in the second round is beyond me. I'm sorry. Watch his career in Columbia. Inconsistent quarterback throughout his career. It was a 59% completion percentage for the first 3 years.
Elway. Do you remember this with John Elway?
Yeah, I remember. He didn't want
to go after Kyler Murray because he wasn't tall enough. Okay? He took Drew Lock because he was tall and he had a strong arm. That's the only reason why they took him.
He just didn't watch him play in the SEC. That was the problem. So, I mean,
he's gone. Anyways.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Well, what about Justin Fields now? Justin Fields steps up. He gets the victory. They cover the number. They win that ball game by 10 points. Is a 3-point favorite. You're going on the road to face Las Vegas, coming off the Monday night loss. Las Vegas, a 5.5-point favorite, -110 either way. Any confidence in Matt Nagy and the Bears on the road in Las Vegas?
Oh, no. How am I going to bet?
This is a tough game. This is a tough game.
No, I go back to this. Two crappy coaches again. We've got two bad coaches.
No, I would like Gruden. Well, wait a second. As much as you want to bash Gruden, I would take Gruden in a heartbeat over that piece of garbage, Matt Nagy.
All right, settle down with the piece of garbage. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
I actually,
he's wonderful.
His in-game decision-making isn't nearly as bad as some of these other guys. I would actually put his in-game decision-making probably slightly ahead of Gruden. The problem is that he's handled this whole quarterback situation incorrectly, him and Ryan Pace. He also puts his foot in the mouth, say, oh, you know, I should be congratulated for not calling the plays. You should be congratulated for not calling the plays. Shut up. No, you shouldn't. You blew it, man. You know, you blew it. So we've got Gruden, who wants to establish the run. He thinks it's 2005. We got Nagy, that really has no idea how to develop this quarterback here, which he still wants to play Andy Dalton. Does that really give him the best chance of winning? Does it really give him the best chance of winning? So I'm going to take the Raiders at home here. 5.5 is a lot of points, though. Is it 5.5 a lot? Like, these two teams, you're higher on the Raiders than I am. I saw a lot of flaws last week. The Bears' defense, maybe they could do something to quell the passing game here. I'm not worried about the Bears' running game. Who's their starting running back this week, huh? Who is it? Come on. There's no David Montgomery.
No. You know what, though? I mean, hang on. I understand Montgomery's been very productive, but he's not an elite running back. He's a productive running back. You could put somebody in there and still get – I mean, they just got Jakeem Grant into that offense now. So you have Jakeem Grant, you have Robinson, you have Mooney. That can add a little speed on the perimeter.
Damian Williams has to be in this game for the Bears to really have a shot, because at least he's a veteran in this league and he's all purpose. Like, he can run the football, he can catch the football, but he has a deep thigh bruise. So a guy by the name of Khalil Herbert.
Mm-hmm, yes, yeah, 6th round pick out of Va Tech. He's good.
Oh, we'll see. I mean, if that's the case, they're going to be very thin. They're going to be using somebody very inexperienced back there. The lack of a run game, are they going to be able to get that going? If there is no run game and Andy Dalton starts, then this is the Raiders -5.5. I got to see what's going to go on with that running back situation in Chicago.
I tell you what, if Andy Dalton starts this game, I would flip #1 if I'm a Bear fan. #2, there's no way that Las Vegas is losing this game. I'm sorry. He is such a one-dimensional player. And how, if you're Matt Nagy, Pace, you're that organization, you're coming off a 10-point win, the kid steps up, throws for over 200 yards, how you can't give your fan base optimism, a spark, and allow Justin Fields to start this matchup is beyond me. It's beyond me. It really is mind-boggling. I don't know if Matt Nagy had a lobotomy. I don't know if he was hit over the head. I mean, somebody needs to tell me what this man is thinking. Really, because Colden, I don't know. We'll see. When we come back, we'll be talking about San Francisco, Arizona, and some of the other games in the 4 o'clock window. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Continuing the breakdowns for NFL week number 5, going to turn our attention to the later games. I know we talked about some of the earlier ones. Also have the Jets and Atlanta kicking off early start Sunday morning. We'll get into that later in the week. But 4 o'clock window is pretty intriguing this weekend. We talked about Chicago, Las Vegas. Yeah. How about this? You know, we talked about San Francisco and Arizona. And, you know, I still, when I look at it now, they just juiced up the San Francisco 49ers. They were under 200 in terms of the money line. Now plus 205 in terms of a money line play on the road in Arizona. I like it more and more. I like them plus the 5.5 at minus 110, plus 205 on the money line outright over Arizona here.
Yeah, you have to take into account that Trey Lance could very well start this game. And if I remember correctly, would you like the Niners more? Trey Lance could be starting.
No, want Jimmy Garoppolo. I told you I'd take 80% Jimmy Graps or 75 over Trey Lance. But at 5.5 right here, I'm going to say that Graps does play though. Somehow, some way they caught him out there. Because I think you need him. I think as long as he's somewhat healthy, you get him out there. I mean, Wentz went out there with 2 bad ankles, right? Same type of situation. I think you get out. You need, if you're Shanahan, I understand you're high on Trey Lance, but there's no way he's winning that ball game on the road in Arizona with Kyler in that offense. He's just not ready. You said it. Yeah. I agree with you.
I can't back the Niners right now not knowing who the quarterback is. And then I can't back the Niners right now knowing that Garoppolo is going to be immobile with a very good chance of him having to leave the game again. Really. Because if you throw him in there, look, he couldn't even walk. This is a massive calf issue that he has. Thank God it's not his Achilles. But how do you trust Jimmy Garoppolo to stay in the game if he's already hurt? That's A. B, there's no guarantee he's playing. C, if you're not going to back him with Trey Lance, then you can't place this bet right now, Joe. You can't place this bet right now.
See, I look at the market, and here's what I say. I say, I take into account everything you're saying, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything. But I always believe that the market is ahead of us. As much information as we have at our disposal, Vegas and New Jersey and the books have, they're in the know a lot more than we are. That's already factored in. If Jimmy G was not playing or he wasn't, let's say, 70-30, this line would be 6.5, 7, maybe even 7.5. I mean, if Trey Lance gets the start, I would make the line closer to 7 than I would 4.5, 5.5 right now.
So would the public? Would the public make it that much? That's my question. Is the public on Trey Lance more than Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I was all, you know me, I love Trey Lance. I think this guy's going to be a terrific quarterback for a long time. Struggled with some tight window throws, decided to run a little bit more. The numbers actually looked pretty good, but he didn't play quite as well as his numbers. I think if Trey Lance is named the starter, I would not be surprised if this thing went down to like 5 or something like that. Because I really believe the public thinks Trey Lance is the best option, even though he isn't.
Yeah, that's possible. I just don't see it.
Okay.
I'll say this. I think in order for San Francisco, no matter who starts, to win this game, they need to run the football. You have to keep Kyler on the sidelines. Just that the type of game plan, and I go to the college game with Alabama and Ole Miss. You have a high explosive offense with Matt Corral. Alabama pounded the rock down their throat. Time of possession, ball sustained drives. You keep the more explosive offense on the sidelines. Arizona, on almost every drive, has the potential to score. You know that if you're Kyle Shanahan, right? You know you don't have the type of firepower, at least now early on, to go toe-to-toe with them. You trailed Green Bay 17-0 at home. The running game was non-existent. You need to get it going here. So I think that's the recipe going in. Now, can they execute that is the other question. Because the Arizona defense, which was a major concern entering the season, all of a sudden has been playing very consistent and very good this year.
It has. And I go back to this again. I'm Mr. Pass Rusher. I love it when teams can get pass rushers. They brought in some veterans. They got Watt in there. So, yes, defensively, I think that the Cardinals could throw everything at Trey Lance and really, really confuse him. With Garoppolo, though, there's enough yak daddies on this offense. And really, even with Lance, once Brandon Ayuk gets his ass together, this team is going to be super scary. You know, they had a home run hitter in Mostert. We're not going to see him. They got a home run hitter in Deebo Samuel. They got a home run hitter in Brandon Ayuk, who for whatever reason just has not gotten it going early in this season. And I've been impressed with Trey Sermon. So as much as people want to knock Jimmy Garoppolo for being a game manager, I think he's a little bit more of a game manager. The team around him looks very, very comfortable when he's in there. And while Arizona could score on every possession, with Jimmy Garoppolo, there are guys that could take it to the house on the Niners side too. So this will be a fascinating battle. You're right. This defense for Arizona has really created pressure, created some turnovers. But don't forget about what the Niners are doing too. You know, this is not a completely soft team. The problem is they're going up against the human joystick and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to monitor it throughout the week. We'll see if Jimmy Graps can get under center and give his team a spark in this matchup. A game that we didn't talk about, Sunday night. I mean, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Pat Mahomes and the crew coming off very impressive win in Philadelphia. I mean, they were hitting on all cylinders, put up over 40 points. And Buffalo playing as well as anybody in terms of the NFL right now. They're 3-point dogs, minus 115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, highest on the board for NFL week number 5, 56.5, minus 110 either way. I don't care. I think Buffalo is the most complete team in the NFL right here, right now, even though they lost week 1. I love the way Josh Allen is playing. You're going to give me plus 126 on the money line. I'm going to take that. I think they win this ball game outright.
I'm taking the points. I'm taking the plus 3. This thing got bet up from 2.5 to 3. Actually, I already took the points. I already got Buffalo on the road. Kansas City, just because of what we saw last week against the Eagles. The Eagles offense, yeah, they still had some success, and they made Jalen Hurts look spectacular. This team is awful. Defensively, they're just about the worst in the league. I've been saying this since after the week 1 game. Gilmore would be a terrific fit there. Josh Allen, statistically, through the first 4 games, not quite as good as he was last year as an MVP candidate, but I think he gets back to that. I think there's a lot of guys that have big games. The only thing I'm interested in now is the total. Let's discuss this for a minute.
Yeah, it's
56
high.
And a half. As much as I want to, I can't out of principle. But how did the Bills not put up 28 points? Tell me this. How are the Bills not put up 28 points and winning this? Because their team total is 27.
I don't see it. I agree with you. I think they definitely put up 28. I think they win the ball game outright. Mm-hmm. Here's the bigger question. The rushing attack for Kansas City has been consistent. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, back-to-back 100-yard games. Tell me how he's going to run on that front 7 of Buffalo. Because I don't see that this coming Sunday. I don't see that in any capacity.
But we know that this offense is predicated around Mahomes using his legs, getting guys open down the field, Mahomes being extremely accurate, Mahomes having two of the best weapons in the world in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Yeah, the Bills defense, for all that it is, no team is stopping the Chiefs. It's just not happening. We saw a red hot Bucks defense. The Super Bowl champions did it for the most part.
Cleveland was able to do it for like 3 quarters.
Yeah, this is what happens all the time, though. This is what I say about Mahomes. You get a first half, let's just say you get 2 quarters of nothing, and then they blow up for 3 touchdowns in a quarter. It's the most explosive offense out there. They're never out of a game. They can beat out 21 points. And at any point in time, he could bring this team back. The problem is, on the other side this week, they got a really good quarterback with some pretty damn good weapons who are going to take advantage of the worst defense out of any contender out there. Give me the Bills plus 3. Give me the Bills team total over 27.
Well, I'll tell you what I do like about Buffalo, too. They're running the football. I mean, Zach Moss is getting his. He's got three rushing touchdowns, Singletary. That was the concern last year, where a lot of Buffalo Bill fans said, we need a marquee running back. We need that to make a Super Bowl run. I'm not so sure. I think they're getting productivity in terms of the rushing attack this year enough where to keep opposing defenses off balance. I don't think you need much more than that in terms of the dual threat. As long as Zach Moss can run between the tackles, he stays healthy, Singletary can catch the football out of the backfield, what more do you want out of this rushing game?
I don't know what I want out of the rushing game anymore. Just
Bill fans say... I mean, I think you need that. You always need a running game
to make a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm saying that you do need that to make a Super Bowl run. I mean, look over the last couple of years, even Kansas City. When they beat San Francisco, Damian Williams was that guy, right? He rushed for 1,200 yards. He was catching the football out of the backfield. Last year, it was Leonard Fournette and Jones. Fournette took over. When Kansas City couldn't run the football in the playoff games, they became one-dimensional. And their margin of victory narrowed against some of the better teams. Cleveland, now Mahomes did get hurt. But even in that ball game against Buffalo, they didn't pound the rock for 150 yards in that ball game. They still were one-dimensional.
Yeah, and that's fine, though, because Mahomes can still take care of this. But I want to go to the Bills running game real quick. Zach Moss has turned into a legitimate threat. I know that he was not looking good last year. It took him a year to get used to this. He's averaging the last two games. He's just looked terrific. The problem is one of them is against the Texans, so you really can't tell how good it was. But he did take down the football team. They use him in a passing game just a little bit. And he's a big play threat. And then I think that Singletary has also gotten in there. But let's not forget the number one cog in this running game, and it's the quarterback, and his name is Josh Allen. So I think the Bills... I think the Bills got a nice running game, and I also believe that the Chiefs can continue to win without a running game and a defense. The problem is when they run into teams like the Bills, they might not have enough to just outscore them because they're not stopping anybody. All they need is one game against a decent team to shut them down to change everything. The personnel isn't there, the scheme isn't there, and the execution isn't there.
Yeah, I tell you, Buffalo gets this. They're going to feel good. They're going to have a notch in their belt. They're going to be hitting on all cylinders. This is going to be a confident team entering week number six, if you think about it. If they can get this in convincing fashion, if you're Kansas City and you lose this ball game, yeah, you start to have to say, is this the team that we thought they were? If they drop, obviously, two games over the last 3 weeks to the Chargers and the Bills, they're going to start to say, maybe they're not as strong as we thought they were entering 2021. So something to think about. When we come back, we'll be talking about the Monday night game quickly, Indianapolis and Baltimore, right here on the grid. Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner breaking down all your action. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Holden Kushner.
Wrapping up today's show, we're going to turn our attention to the big game Monday night in Baltimore. Carson Wentz and the Colts.
Oh, timeout. Breaking news. Brad Biggs, Bears beat reporter. Chicago Tribune, Justin Fields is the Bears starting quarterback moving forward. Damn, beautiful. That's the news. That is the news we were looking for, my friend. Just in time, too.
I thought you were going to tell me Nagy was fired for the rest of the year. Gone. That the door. They put him on sabbatical. All right? Yeah. Here's your money. Get out of town. I mean, come on. I mean, that was a no. I mean, but you see, this is the problem, is that we're actually debating this. There was, you could, I'm telling you, you could have gotten a 12-year-old from grade school that would have saw that Justin Fields was the better quarterback over Andy Dalton or Nick Foles. But Matt Nagy drags it out. He keeps everybody on edge. I mean, come on, Matt. Go wake up. But that matchup in quickly, Baltimore, 7-point favorites over the Colts. I'm going to take the points with the Colts. I don't love Carson Wentz, but this team might be playing with house money. Prime time, they might keep it within the number.
I don't know why you're backing them at this point. It's defensively, I could see where they could stay in this game, but I like the Colts at home a whole bunch more, even though Lamar's coming off that game where he didn't rush for as much. This is not the Broncos defense that he's facing. I look for him to carve him up. This line was 5, then 6, now 6.5, 7. Ravens defense showing me a little bit more. I don't think Carson Wentz can move the ball enough for the Colts to cover the number against the Ravens.
I sort of lean to the under as well because, mm-hmm. to your point about this matchup, both teams are going to look to pound the rock. Could be a big day for Taylor in this ball game on the ground.
It could be. But then again, it could be a bigger day for Lamar Jackson on the ground.
Possibly. For Holden Kushner and our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We're going to be here all week breaking down NFL week number 5. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.